Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
A great good day. Good morning. Welcome into the clubhouse. It is already September 23rd. It is fall. And our guest this morning, Jim Richardson, Secretary PGA of America, Senior Vice President, Business Development, Troon, Nancy Henderson stopping in, President of the LPGA Foundation, the Chief Training Officer, LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals. And there's a new LPGA Women's Network. Going to talk about that. Adam Barr, former USGA Communications Director, Museum Director, Miura Golf President of North America. He's got a new chapter coming up in his life, and we'll be talking. Brett Lasky, it's almost time for the Symetra Tour Finals. He's Manager of Strategic Media Partnerships. And did you know there are two Hawaii champions vying for one of those LPGA cards? And David Hunter, checking in from the UK, CEO of ShotScope Technology. Another one of my favorite entrepreneurs who has an idea, makes it physical, and at home, you know, working in the home shop, making the bedroom the place to make something come to fruition. And indeed, he's got version 2 coming out, and it's a hit so far. So we'll be talking first off with the Secretary of the PGA of America, Jim Richardson, right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alan Nakata & Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. That's Alan Nakata, 548-7526. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, warehouse, showroom, or your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. And by Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, and Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, a custom home, or townhouse, a new build, renovation, or repair, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home, Raynor Doors.
Jim Richardson, thoroughly enjoyed listening to you speak at the Hawaii Golf Conference that we had recently. Secretary of PGA of America, Jim Richardson, it's such a pleasure to have you in the clubhouse. Welcome.
Danielle, thank you, and I really appreciate you inviting me to be on the show.
You, as the Senior Vice President for Business Development at Troon, we were talking business, the business of golf, not just in Hawaii, but internationally, and your focus seems to be a bit on the global aspect of the game of golf, but let's just start off with your analysis, your idea. What's the state of the business of golf right now?
Well, I think, statistically speaking, a lot has been written in the press over the last couple years about rounds of golf being relatively flat for the last decade, and that's true. And we've seen some slight increases over the last couple years of 1% to 2%. But the statistic that I really think is interesting is, if you dive into it further, there was another 18 million people last year that participated in some type of golf activity. Not necessarily around a golf. They went to a driving range, they hit balls, they went to an alternate experience like a Top Golf or a Four Golf. And I think as an industry, seeing 18 million people that have an interest in utilizing the game for fun and getting involved in golf is a very positive sign. We're seeing really large growth in the junior space with programs like PGA Junior League Golf and girls' golf programs for the USGA. So we're seeing a really good interest from the younger players. We're seeing interest from those that have never played the game before, that are interested in utilizing golf for a fun activity. As an industry, we just need to figure out how we take those individuals that are interested in the game, turn them into more regular players, and make them lifelong golfers. And if we can accomplish that, then I think our game will be really healthy for years to come.
You know, I agree with you completely. A lot of kids talk about how they're led through the junior golf process, and then if they choose to go into high school, if they like it, they go to high school golf and maybe into college golf, but then there's kind of this big gap. Where do I go now? Top Golf, I was looking at the partnership between Top Golf and the PGA of America, and when I saw your background, I thought, I wonder if Jim Richardson, you were on the board of the PGA of America before becoming secretary. Did you have something to do with developing that partnership?
Well, there was a lot of people involved. I was fortunate to be involved from what we would call a section level in the state of Wisconsin and then now in Arizona. And I was a national board member. And those are things I think that the national board of the PGA, along with a lot of different individuals in the game, are trying to really partner with, you know, unique groups like the Top Golf organization or Four Golf and those alternate experiences. And I think what we're seeing probably, Danielle, now more than ever, is all of the large associations coming together, having discussions on how they can work more closely together for the overall good of the game. So if we have people that are utilizing a Top Golf, that's a great thing. They're using golf as a fun experience. They're bringing their families out. They're starting to learn that golf is a really fun activity and something that they can do as a family. So how do we tap into that and utilize that and that organization to try to create more golfers? So PGA has developed a relationship with Top Golf. It's a great organization. They've got a great model. They're bringing families out from all over the country participating. And we have to continue to utilize programs and companies like that that come up with new and unique ideas and get more people introduced to the great game of golf.
In an article that I was reading when I was looking for information about you, I came upon one where you were quoted, not verbatim, but basically saying that the PGA of America has made great strides in junior golf, in getting like the junior league and foot golf and other things like that, but that there are new demographics that you think need to be explored to bring them to the game. Can you tell us a bit more about that thought?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're seeing, you know, the junior space. We've had about 500,000 new juniors that have taken up the game in the last 5 years. And that, you know, that's almost double more than any other youth sport. So we're seeing great interest and participation in golf from the youth space. I think it's driven by programs like Drive, Chip, and Putt, that relationship with Augusta National, where the national finals take place at the Masters the Sunday before the tournament starts. You see how that club's really gotten behind it, how Chairman Billy Payne at the time really supported that event. You see past champions come off the golf course and are participating and giving trophies out and talking to the young players, the boys and girls playing in that. Then you look at programs like PGA Junior League Golf, which is a little bit more of a non-competitive format. It's kids that are able to play as a team. They play in a scramble format where you can substitute players in and out. You know, brothers and sisters can play with one another. Friends can play on the same team. And that atmosphere, you know, not being so competitive on an individual basis, but in the team, we've seen that program grow since 2013 of having 9,000 participants. So this year, we'll probably have over 44,000, 45,000. That should continue to grow. So I think we're seeing some alternate type of programs like Drive, Chip, and Putt and the team event that's really spurning a lot of junior interest. And as we see with a lot of youth sports, if you get the kids involved, you can get the whole family, mom and dad,
okay,
you know, auntie, uncle, grandma, grandpa. So it's great to see that type of participation.
And that's what you're thinking about the new demographics. So if you get the kids in, you'll get, you know, the grandparents. They'll go with the kids and they might take up the game. Parents are really busy, but they might find a couple of hours to play nine holes of golf and just follow the kids maybe on the course and get to know the game that way. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I tell a story this past winter that I played two rounds of golf with my 85-year-old father, my 56-year-old brother and I, and his 10-year-old son. And there's just not many sports and activities that you can have that diverse of an age range that actually can compete or just play the same game, the same activity, and have fun at it. And My 10-year-old nephew had just as much fun as my father, and to see the two of them out playing and riding in the cart and playing together, you know, that's something that those types of memories he'll have forever, you know, where he couldn't do that if he was playing basketball or football or soccer. He can't really participate in those sports with his 85-year-old grandfather, but he can do that in golf. Yeah. That's something that's very, very unique about our sport, and it's something I think we need to promote more and more for the family aspect.
Yeah, and do you come up against the cost of the game when you are trying to promote a family affair?
Absolutely. It's something that's written about a lot, although I think it's actually a misnomer. When you look at over two-thirds of the golf courses in the United States are public access, and of those roughly 10,000 golf courses, the average green fee is just around $40. And there's all kinds of junior programs and courses that offer junior programs for very, very low fees to get involved with. You've got great programs of, you know, throughout the country that they're donating equipment and donating clubs for kids to be able to use to get started in the game. So, you know, if parents or if individuals just do a little bit of research on who has active junior programs in their areas, typically they're going to find a program that's very, very inexpensive to introduce kids into the game, see if they enjoy it, see if they like it, and then can go from there. So although there are some expenses that are related to it, and a lot of times that gets written about, there's also some very inexpensive ways, I think, to get involved in the game.
Yeah, it's just like in Hawaii, in Honolulu, or Oahu, I should say, because we're the city and county of Honolulu, the entire island. The municipal courses now allow kids to play free. That started this summer until the age of 17, which is awesome. You know, as long as you're a resident, you go down and get your golf cart, and then the kids can go play. We just need to give them, of course, a little etiquette. Etiquette lessons, so they don't go screaming down the first tee, running after the ball when they should be waiting till the next one's hit. You know, it's simple things like that, and then they love it. I go and help out a junior golf teaching experience on the range, on the course, and the children enjoy the process. How do I do this now? Where should I stand? Is it my turn? You know, all of those things, they like the routine. Children enjoy the routine, and they like the routine of golf in a lot of cases. And I wanted to switch to Hawaii base now, because we are between the East and the West. And that's one of the topics you talked about during the Hawaii Golf Conference, where there is a huge growth in golf globally. It started when I started the show 20 years ago. Global golf was the big push, growing the game on an international scale. And Hawaii was considered a place where East could meet West, making the time zone changes so much easier, a stopover place, if you will. And you were talking about, how do you see that coming to fruition? Do you see the Asia market really expanding?
I do, Danielle. I think that golf now, with the participation in the Olympics, with worldwide television and social media, you know, you're seeing big name players now every week on both the men's and the women's tours that are really from countries all over the globe. You know, from Matsuyama on the men's tour, you know, to players from Europe and Northern Ireland that are some of the top players, with a Rory McIlroy or Sergio Garcia. On the women's side, you know, it's no secret that many of the top players are from Asia and have been for several years. I think we'll continue to see more and more players at a top level that will be on TV, that kids and those new to the game will see an ever-changing and ever-global face of golf. And with that, I think we'll see more and more participation from those countries as well, too. As you stated, Hawaii, I think, is perfectly situated and located to be a big driver, especially golf from Asia. They've been working with and then handling and taking care of clients from Asia for years and years and years. But as the game continues to grow globally, you know, Hawaii, I think, is very well situated to play a big part in hopefully continued global golf and the expansion, not only of players getting introduced to the game, but bringing them over and, you know, teaching teachers how to teach properly, and developing programs of elite junior players, and being, you know, a face for golf with all the professional televised events that are in the state. I think there's a lot of positives for Hawaii being involved and playing a big part. as the golf continues to grow globally.
Awesome. I had a question. You know, Augusta National started with Drive Ship Putt, of course, but they, before that, recognized that there are these great players internationally, and they started the Asia Amateur, giving the winner a spot in the Masters, and Hideki Matsuyama won 2 times in a row, and he's very familiar with Augusta National now, the course. An absolutely amazing experience to be at. When I was at Augusta National and I saw just the practice facility where Drive Chip Putt is actually played, it looks like a golf course, you know?
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yes.
So I was thinking, there are PGAs around the world. There's professional golf associations around the world. Is it possible to create, or has the PGA of America thought about creating events kind of like that Asia Amateur, but with it being PGAs where they could then play their way into the PGA Championship?
Well, there's all kinds of discussions going on, as you stated, on several different levels for several different programs. Growth of the game initiatives on, you know, education and introduction to getting more people into the game as either teaching professionals or business professionals, as well as in competition. So one of the things we're looking at right now is the PGA Junior League Golf and that success and taking it more globally and having programs in other countries to potentially create, you know, a Little League World Series type of scenario with Junior League Golf and creating that participation. And we're looking at some of the other things you mentioned as well, too. We do have qualifiers where individuals can qualify from a professional level into the PGA Championship, because that event is all professionals,
right?
Unlike the Masters and some other events that allow amateurs in. There's all kinds of possibilities in the future, and the PGA of America is looking at a lot of those because we want to continue to make sure that we're leading that charge to continue to grow the game from both a, you know, kind of introductory level, a amateur level, and a professional level moving forward.
Yeah, I hear so much about the World Tour, you know, the Asia Tour joining up with the Japan Tour, somehow making a World Tour, however that would work. There's so many different ideas along that line. And I thought, well, there's so many professional golf associations. There's one in every country. There's one in India. There's one in China, in Japan. There's everywhere there are professional golfers. There's a professional golf association. And I heard you say that there's not going to be a PGA championship played outside of the United States, which is something that was talked about, I guess, prematurely in the press a long time ago.
Well, I think I stated that it's not a main focus right now.
Yeah.
I mean, anything is possible. I don't know if the PGA championship itself will go outside the U.S., but it's not outside the realm of possibility to think that the PGA may create or be involved in another event that's more of a global golf event. So there's nothing that's on the drawing board, nothing that's imminent. All kinds of things are being discussed, again, with the sole goal of how do we help continue to grow the game and how do we create more opportunities for PGA members that are part of the PGA of America.
Got it. Yes, the focus being the PGA of America. I completely understand. Switching hats now as Senior Vice President of Business Development, Troon, I just want to say I'm so thrilled that Tiburon is going to be able to, you know, get everything put back together again and host the CME Tour Championship that's coming up soon. It's great to see. How are your courses doing after the floods and the hurricanes that we've had?
Yeah, it's an unbelievable travesty, the disasters that happened in, you know, Texas and in Florida. And we've had many individuals that are involved with the game of golf, so whether it's their businesses, their courses, or just family members that were affected. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers are still with all those individuals dealing with the aftermath of the hurricane. And luckily for our company, we did have some golf courses that did have some damage. Luckily, nothing too severe. As you talked about, Danielle, Tiburon is a very well-known golf course that hosts the CME Championship on the LPGA Tour. Although they got a lot of water and a lot of wind and some damage, nothing that's going to preclude them from hosting the event again, which we're very excited because that's a great event, a great championship. And as a company, we really enjoy being involved with Tiburon as well as with the LPGA Tour in that event.
That's awesome. Jim Richardson is Secretary PG of America and Senior Vice President Business Development. Troon, you have had such a wonderful life. I mean, when you were with Kohler at Whistling Straits and being part of all the major championships that are played around the world and over at St. Andrews, wonderful. Congratulations to all of your successes, and I look forward to you working your way to become President of the PG of America. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Danielle, I appreciate it, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back and talk with Nancy Richardson. Our focus will be the LPGA Foundation, the LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals. She is Chief Teaching Officer. And something completely new. It is the LPGA Women's Network. I'm a part of the Women's Network. I signed up. And it doesn't cost anything. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I need help. Maybe you've heard that from people who are taking care of a loved one. They don't want to go into a home. They want to stay at home, but need help taking care of a parent, a spouse, or a relative. Meal planning and prep, light housekeeping, assistance, bathing, hygiene. See, home care to give peace of mind to you and to the one you love. A few hours a week or 24/7. It's really up to you. You choose the number of hours you need. So need help? They have a plan for you, for your parents, your own retirement. Eliminate the hassles and the frustration and the unknown. Call Need Help. The number is 548-7526. Eliminate the hassles, the frustration, and the unknown. Call Need Help now at 548-7526. They're available on Maui and Oahu, of course. They're actually in all 50 states. And tell them Danielle sent you. Need Help? That number is 548-7526.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint, it's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
I'm not sure if I'm reading the right forecast. I'm looking outside. It's absolutely beautiful, but the forecast says it's, you know, partly cloudy, scattered showers in the morning, isolated showers in the afternoon. Oh, on the leeward side, it's mostly sunny, isolated showers in the morning, high 85 to 90, and the northeasterly winds are 15, so it may not feel quite so hot if they would just pick up speed just a little bit. Don't forget your sunscreen if you're going to go out and play a round of golf. There is at Volcano, where it was 56 wonderful degrees. There's a 10-20. Yes, I prefer chilly temperatures. More like a horse I am. Makalei, a 9-16 and a 10-24. Poipu has a 9-40 and an 11 o'clock. The Southside Men's Club's going out today. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. And Bobby Gentry's playing. Did you know Bobby Gentry plays golf? That's right. Bobby Gentry, may you hit the sweet spot every time. And over where Claude Brousseau teaches at Kahili, there's an 8:30, a 9:42, and a 10:30. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has a 9:42 and an 11:30. All right. Nancy Henderson is coming into the clubhouse, and I'm so pleased. She's president of LPGA Foundation, LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals Chief Training Officer, the 2001 LPGA Professional of the Year. Welcome into the clubhouse, Nancy.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm. How do you have time to do the LPGA Women's Network?
Well, you know, it's kind of exciting for me. My role at the LPGA over the years has kind of, you know, grown and taken shape, but it's so fun to do what you do that it never really seems like work.
Yes, I completely understand. For people who don't understand maybe the LPGA, the foundation, what is the driving force that the LPGA Foundation accomplishes?
Sure. Let's start with, you know, the LPGA Tour. You were just mentioning our CME Tour Championship. Obviously, the LPGA was founded in 1950 by 13 amazing women who had this, you know, dream of turning their passion for golf into their golf career. So the tour was actually established in 1950. And then the teaching and club professional area came on board, and came on board by one vote, by the way. In 1959, they voted to have kind of a teaching division for the tour. The foundation came along much later, and it actually started as a way to give money to a player who was battling breast cancer, Heather Farr, who ultimately passed away. So the foundation is really the LPGA's charitable arm and give back. And currently our main focus, besides the financial assistance and scholarships, is our LPGA USGA Girls Golf Program, which it's an amazing program. That's the only all-girls program of its kind.
Yes, and phenomenally popular. I was looking at some of the women who are donating money, like Sandra Gall raised more than $10,000 for girls' golf, and she started the Walk with Sandra program. So two girls are selected to be able to kind of follow her during the tournament?
Yes, we've had so much support, not only from our LPGA players, but really in 2010 when Mike Wann established the Founders Cup, which is actually in place to honor our founders, you know, pay tribute to those who are the world's best golfers of today and pay it forward to the future of the LPGA. So since 2010, we've had about $500,000 a year that has gone into our LPGA USGA Girls Golf Program. So it brought awareness to the program. So players like Sandra had a way to see the impact we were having on girls. And in 2010, we had about 5,000 girls engaged. At the end of this year, we'll have 70,000 girls who will be part of our LPGA USGA Girls Golf Program. So
fantastic.
It's really exciting to see the growth, and the support of the players has certainly helped us get there, because as we know, money kind of makes the world grow and makes the world go round. And for us, it allows more little girls to get on the tee.
Yes. Marilyn Smith has been a guest on my show many times. And I was in Arizona for one of her fundraising events, her annual scholarship fundraiser, her tournament. And she's just a dynamo, you know, I hate to say this like this, but at her age, she still sends me, you know, Christmas cards and just cards. And she's just constantly working toward enhancing the lives of women and furthering their desire to get better at golf and educate themselves at the same time. She's a wonderful force. And so seeing the LPGA Founders Cup created was a real fabulous move that the LPGA made. Really nicely done. So when you decided to do the LPGA Women's Network, what was behind that?
Because our strategic plan in 2016 was really to get to, 100,000 girls as part of our girls' golf program by 2020, which, you know, we're on target to do. And, you know, we wanted to, as the LPGA, the largest and longest-standing women's professional sports organization in the world, also do something for women's golf. And, you know, our focus was on professional golf for many, many years. And in 2010, we put our focus in getting more juniors engaged. And we decided that, you know, why not, you know, leverage our brand and try to get a place for women to be that one spot to go to where it's a community of women in golf who can find other women to play with, can find tournaments to play, and can find instruction that really is by women for women. So we just wanted to create this space where women in golf could have the opportunity in a community to connect.
Yeah, and to connect, to find out what's trending, and fashion. You have a shop, and I got a link to, or a little in my inbox. It said, these are the finds. These are some of the finds that we've found. And I was thinking, you know, this would be so perfect. So many times I see something that a professional golfer is wearing, and I wonder, where did she get that? How can I get what she's wearing? And what comes to mind, of course, is Maria Vrchinova's hat when she shot the 62 during the Olympics. Everybody remembers her for that hat, that fabulous sunscreen hat that she had on. And I didn't know where to find it. I thought, wow, it would be great if that would have been one of the finds on the LPGA Women's Network.
Yeah, to your point, not only is fashion a big part of it, but there's a whole partner perk section, which if you haven't explored that yet, if you click on Connect, you can go into the partner perks or even through Shop, and it has all LPGA partners who offer discounts specifically to women who are part of the network. So you'll see Tumi listed there. You'll see a lot of our LPGA Pro Shop items. You'll see LPGA Travel. All of that offer discounts. So it really will be a place where you can go not only to find those things, but also get discounts.
Yeah, and it's LPGAWomensNetwork.com. I signed up, and it's LPGAWomensNetwork.com, and it's just a really cool place where you can find out all the different things that are available and being able to, I still want to buy some of the things that I see online, you know, that are available in the store. When you created the LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals, was that because there wasn't a place like the PGA of America? There's the men's. Is there a women's division of the PGA of America, or is that what you've done when you created the LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals?
Yeah, obviously you had Jim on right before me, and I got to hear a little bit of him talking. I myself am a PGA of America member as well. So women can be part of the PGA. Well, back in 1950, when the LPGA established the teaching division, women couldn't be part of the PGA. So that was the reason why it was established back in 1959. But the reason why it still exists today is because the curriculum and what we're taught versus what a PGA of America member is taught is very different. Mm. In the PGA, you're taught to be a club professional. You're taught merchandising and HR and golf course maintenance and golf cart maintenance and food and beverage and everything you need to be a head professional at a facility. There are teachers are basically taught to teach. We have 80 hours of very specific teacher education. So you go through three different levels of education and training, and finally a hands-on peer review before you get your Class A teaching certification. So when you take a lesson from an LPGA teacher, they are specifically trained to teach. The PGA has about 8 hours of teacher training. We have about 80.
So 80.
There's just a difference. Yeah, there's just a difference in terms of how we're trained. And, you know, also being a member of both organizations, they're both great for different reasons. But for a lot of women who teach and find a passion in that, they've kind of found their niche.
Right, right. And teaching can be such a, you were 2001 LPGA Professional of the Year. So were you ever as a LPGA tour member? Did you play as a professional on tour?
I did. I played a little bit on tour. I played in a couple of U.S. Opens and realized really quickly. I mean, I got into the game because I saw Nancy Lopez winning, you know, 9 times her rookie year and wanted to be Nancy Lopez and got out there and realized I wasn't going to be Nancy Lopez, even though I was a very good player. So,
yes.
You know, kind of got into the business side of golf after that because I loved golf and wanted to have that as part of my career. So, you know, I became a PGA and an LPGA member and kind of went the club route until this opportunity with the LPGA came on board. And I really wanted to open more doors for women in golf. And that's the main reason why I went to work for the LPGA.
Can you tell us how you made 13 holes in one?
Well, that's a little bit luck and a lot of skill. My very first one, though, came at the age of 8. It's also playing a long time, but, you know, I've been stuck on 13 for a while, so I think that might be the unlucky number.
No. I think you're doing fabulously. 13 holes in one. I mean, there are people who live their entire life and play golf every day and never get a hole in one. So that's really wonderful. That's great. When you go into teaching, what do you get most? Do you learn as you're teaching?
You know, I think our teachers are they're trained to teach the individual. So we have that connection with our students because we take the time to learn about them, to learn what they want from their game, to learn about their goals and aspirations and physical limitations. So when we teach individuals, there's that connection that a lot of times you don't always get with a golf instructor because, mm-hmm. you know, we are really trained to teach the individual because not everybody's the same. So if I have a method that I teach, it may work with, you know, 20% of all golfers, but it's certainly not going to work for all of them. And, you know, a lot of times what motivates a female versus a male is different. So, you know, our teachers teach about 50% men, 50% women. So, you know, you have to be able to adapt not only to the gender, but also to the individual. Like, I'm going to teach you much differently than I would another person. So it's that knowing and understanding and caring that kind of gets our teachers to the next level that I think makes the difference.
It's fabulous. Yeah, also, Nancy Henderson, Ladies Professional Golf Association, of course, and president of the LPGA Foundation and the LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals Chief Teaching Officer, 2001 LPGA Professional of the Year. And now there's the LPGA Women's Network. You can join LPGAWomensNetwork.com. Lots of teaching tips and other great social things that are happening. Women, I'm sorry, I was at the Hawaii Golf Conference and we were sitting in a break and the gals were talking about clothing and we all got out our phones and started looking under this bar gray clothing line that I kind of fell for and I love wearing and they're all looking at it and it's just, you know, what you wear when you're on the course is you feel good when you're playing. Even if you're not playing good, you can at least feel like, hey, I look great. I missed the shot, but hey, it's okay. I'm going to go to the next one. You are were the director of golf and general manager at the LPGA International Golf Course, the home course of the Ladies Professional Golf Association. Is that where the Symetra Tour is going to hold its finals?
It is, and it's quite an exciting, you know, race for the cars going on. There's several girls who still have a chance to earn their LPGA Tour card, and obviously, when I was coming on, you also mentioned the CME Tour Championship, which is our year-end event coming up in November in Naples. And that also looks to be quite a tight race, once again, between Lexi Thompson and So-Young Yu, who, as you know, battled it out at the ANA for that major championship. So it looks like it's going to come down to Lexi and So-Young to see who gets that extra $1 million. So there's a lot of exciting things right now going on with the LPGA.
The LPGA is the most exciting tour, period. That is it. That's it.
That's for sure. I mean, our Evian Championship that just finished up in France. We have a way of making it exciting, too. So, you know, that one had, I think, at 1.5 people with two holes left tied for the lead. So, yes, it's been quite, for a variety of reasons, an exciting year for the LPGA. Everything from, you know, kind of the dress code controversy to some of the rules controversy to even the last event where, you know, we had a major that was 54 holes. So, you know, things kind of go in cycles, and it seems like right now we have some exciting players and some interesting things going on.
Yeah, I'll be talking with Brett Lasky, the manager of Strategic Media Partnerships, Symetra Tour, just in a couple of minutes about how everything's coming to the final and all the kids. We have a couple of girls who are playing, women who are playing, trying to get their LPGA card from Hawaii, and they're doing quite well. So we'll be following them very closely, Marissa Chow as well as Nicole Sakamoto. Thank you, Nancy Henderson, president of the LPGA Foundation and LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals Chief Training Officer. Pleasure meeting you.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to talk with Adam Barr, former USGA Communications Director and Museum Director, Miura Golf, former President for North America, former Golf Channel reporter and former Golf Week business reporter, attorney, a writer, a great speaker. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What do the finest homes in Hawaii have in common? Many of them trusted Rainer Hawaii Overhead Doors to provide a truly unique garage door on their home. Call Rainer today and beautify your home with a striking aluminum and glass door that will make your home stand out. Or choose a custom wood design that will be only yours. You have seen our beautiful doors on your neighbors' homes. Get a Rainer door of your own. Call 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer, Hawaii.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing! 841-2837. Your experts on call.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it! Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome into the clubhouse, Adam Barr.
Aloha, Danielle. How are you?
I'm good. I was going, former U.S. Jay Communications and Museum Director, former Muir Golf President for North America, a former Golf Channel reporter. What is the next chapter? I love the way that you presented it to us on social media. We got a video. You said, I'm easy to get a hold of. Here's my phone number on Twitter and on Facebook. Why did you decide to do it that way?
Well, I'll tell you, there's some restructuring going on at the USGA. My position as museum director was eliminated, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, the more people that know about this, you know, the quicker I will hit the ground running and get on to my next chapter. And what better than social media? I'm, you know, surely not the first person to think of that. So yeah. I was able, in one fell swoop, to tell a large number of people, you know, what's going on with me, and that I'm starting a new chapter, if you will, as a storyteller, which is what I've always been. All those formers you mentioned, if you think about it, involved some form of storytelling in golf. And either through public speaking, which I love to do, and writing, which I also love to do, and video production, you see the trend here. That's what I hope to do with my future. Almost certainly in golf, but keeping an open mind for other sports and other ventures as well.
That's awesome. I thought for sure that you'd say, oh, by the way, I am now a current.
Yeah, all those formers, if you think about that, that's a whipsaw resume. If you're not careful, you black out making sharp left turns like that. But I have had a non-traditional career path, and actually it's been a great asset and a matter of great good fortune and support from family and friends that I've been able to do all these things. And that's it's gotten me around the world. So I've been pretty fortunate that way.
Interesting. Restructuring of the USGA. They've just decided to, can you give us a little bit of information?
Well, I won't speak for them in that I'm no longer with them.
Right.
But I, you know, the way it was presented to me is that the way they run the museum is going to change.
Mm.
And therefore my position was no longer necessary. And we all shook hands and parted as friends. You know, I was there for nearly 3 years, and this was a business decision on their part. And it's a wonderful group of people who are dedicated to the future and the past of the game. So, you know, it was great to work with them. But with respect to what they're specifically planning, I can't speak for them.
Of course.
But I think you're going to see, as you saw from the Open Championships and the Amateur this year, they're moving and grooving. There's a murderer's row of golf courses coming up for the U.S. Open over the next 9 years. So there's going to be some fantastic venues. So they're moving ahead.
Very exciting. Very exciting time. So, you know, everybody's always changing. Everybody's looking for different ways of doing things, bringing mm-hmm. together one thing that used to be on a solo, maybe putting it into. Well, let's talk about something completely different. Let's talk about mm-hmm. the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, right now we're in the midst. We're going to the Tour Championship. Somebody's going to walk away with $10 million just for winning the FedEx Cup Championship points because they won the Tour Championship. And, of course, they're going to get like $1 million for that, too. But more to the point that I wanted to speak, does this finale in August, moving it from September, changing the tour schedule, do you like it?
You know, in the end, in the overall analysis, I do. You know, sports schedules are so jammed, as we know, because there's just so much available for people to enjoy, that it takes this long, this many years, to fine-tune it to the point where you're putting your events in a position where they're going to get the most attention and fans are going to get the most enjoyment. And frankly, you're not going to bump up against college football or baseball playoffs the way you did before. But these sports schedules and the promotional efforts that go behind them, I think fans are very sophisticated these days, and they know these things are not race cars, they're battleships. So, you know, turning them takes miles.
Right.
They're planned out years in advance. There's a great deal of investment. There's obligations to sponsorships. There's obligations to season ticket holders and to fans. And to get all those things going in line, not something you can necessarily change from season to season. We've all seen FedEx grow up because most of us have been in the game, have been around from the time it started. I think everyone would agree that although no playoff structure is perfect, this one has come a very long way. And the four events that lead up to this week, you can't take your eyes off them if you love golf.
Exactly. And you don't, are you not bothered by the week off that someone can take and, you know, still win?
This is always, that's a really good question. And this is always the situation when your athletes are independent contractors and get to pick and choose and use scheduling as a strategic weapon based on which golf courses they like or when they need rest. And I don't think that's ever going away because, you know, our sport is, even though every good player has a lot of support, it's an individual sport, and they've got to, it's not a team sport. They've got to make their choices in this way. And it's the antithesis of, say, baseball, where you've got to endure through 162
yes.
show-ups
yes.
to get it done. So I don't know that you'll ever get it to a point where you can compel players to play through all four of those. Still, there's an endurance aspect, because if somebody's, you know, hovering around 28 or so in the rankings to get to Atlanta, you're not going to take any time off. I don't care how tired they are.
Yeah. No. This is... So if you've earned the luxury of the week off, right, because your points
precisely.
Are... Precisely. Yes. That's your opportunity.
And it has a mental... I think it has a mental effect on your co-competitors who may have to stick around or aren't as comfortable going home and taking the kids to the beach.
Right, right. And then know you've come back relaxed and ready to take them on an even more intense level. Unless, of course, you got too relaxed. There are so many different philosophies on this. My next question has to do with the PGA Tour's integrity program. And for those of you who haven't heard about this, and I don't know much about it yet because it's very complex, it has to do with the PGA Tour wants to monitor gambling by everyone on the tour, not just to monitor gambling by the players. Okay, that would be again the caddies, trainers, business managers, just about anybody who is on the inside of the ropes aspect of it, anyone. And they've hired a company to actually follow, you know, to monitor everyone. But they also went on, Jay Monahan, indicated that they are very excited about the prospect and the possibilities gaming offers to grow the game's fan base. So it seems like what they want to do is they want everybody to start gambling, but they want to make sure there's no cheating because of the integrity of the game.
Right, and think about what a fine line that is to walk. On one hand, you don't want to close the door on any opportunities. On the other hand, these are people who are running one of the world's top professional sports leagues, and they watch what goes on around them. They know the long history of boxing in certain quarters. They know the more recent history around top level cycling and how some of those things, you know, depending on your point of view, got out of hand. So it does surprise me that a seamless transition, Fincham to Monahan PGA Tour, would be proactive about something like this. And instead of letting the landscape develop and then responding to it, they develop the landscape. So whatever happens with respect to gambling, wagering, whatever word you want to use, they will have had some influence from early on. And let's remember, in the UK, completely different culture. Perceived and true fairness in professional sports, but plenty of wagering,
yes,
which is taken, you know, in the right places at the right time, which is taken as a normal part of sporting life over there. It's a little different than the way it grew up here in boxing, horse racing, and things like that.
It seems to have come out of a habit people have of betting on the moment, in the moment, on whether or not someone is going to actually make that, let's say, putt.
Well, you brought up one of the most important things that distinguishes this effort from things that other sports leagues have done even 10 years ago. The speed at which information moves nowadays enables the kind of bet you just mentioned. And people take it seriously instead of a joke, instead of two guys, you know, sitting on looking at a rainy window saying which drop of water is going to make it to the bottom first. But these, you know, okay, 40 footers are bettable, and I'm going to bet that somebody's going to make it, and I want 6-1. And that can all be accomplished in seconds, legitimately, and checked. So now that that information can move at that speed and you can make serious bets like that, some sort of oversight and management absolutely necessary.
Yeah, you're so right. And what you said, that when you said that they want to run the bus, they don't want to be trying to chase after everything. Absolutely. And I think they want to, you know, they want to be a part of the money flow. You know, however, whatever agreement, whether it's DraftKings or whatever, I'm not much of a gamer. Okay, so this is a whole new world to me to try to analyze. But all I could think of is the PGA Tour has always been the one making the rules, and you will follow the rules, and they will make money for themselves and for you if all of this works out right. And
that's always been the philosophy, and it comes from a strong business discipline. Nobody derives anything from the PGA Tour without the PGA Tour being recognized or getting its due. And that's the way a sports league should be run. They're the ones putting on the show, taking the risk, and going to the expense, them and their local sponsoring organizations. So if the integrity of that system is going to hold up, then you got to be proactive. You can't leave anything to chance.
The last thing you want is to get a sponsor upset because of something, you know, some cloud that hovers over the event that they're sponsoring, and they're going to say, "That's it. We're done here. We're pulling out."
Well, yeah, exactly right. And look at bicycling. Tour de France still gets a lot of eyeballs. I don't know what the relative ratings are compared to other once-a-year events, and especially in Europe, but there's a whole generation that hears bicycling and some of them turn their noses up. It takes a very long time for that sort of effect to dissipate, so why even let it happen?
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's something. Having been the president for North America of Mira Golf, Adam Barr is who we're speaking with. PXG and TaylorMade are going after each other. Actually, PXG fired the first salvo, complaining that there was patent infringement allegations, that TaylorMade had done something to copy them. And then TaylorMade said, "No way. No way would we do that. The honor of the game, the underpinnings of our business does not allow us to do something like that. So such an allegation, we'll take you to court." So it's very strange. We just lost Adam, and I think he may be coming back again. There's a good chance. So what I was saying, Adam, before we lost you for a second, that, you know, the TaylorMade is saying there's no way that they would have stolen something from PXG, that they're, you know, honor bound not to, because this is, after all, the game of golf. Is this the first time that they've actually been this? I mean, maybe there have been suits underneath the table where people are, but this seems to be very, PXG was very loud.
Yeah, and well, it has the personality of the company, as long as I've been out front, you know, this is what we're doing. We're signing tour players. This is what our equipment looks like.
Yeah.
This is what it does. There's no subtlety or mystery about that. I don't think, and that part might feel a little new, but the patent landscape and the lack of wiggle room in golf development technologically, that's nothing new. And that's been going on since before I got in the business, you know, nearly 25 years ago. I think it maybe has amped up a little bit, but the companies are fine-tuning and optimizing with such precision, such accuracy, that sometimes it's hard not to step on an idea that may be developed in another form somewhere else. Also, executives move between companies, and ideas, either innocently or otherwise, and I'm not commenting on this particular case, do get crossbred. So it's very hard to turn around in the patent landscape and not elbow somebody in golf equipment. You have a whole bunch of physicists and very smart people working on this stuff, and I'm not surprised when these things happen.
Yeah, and I think what you said in when we were setting up the time to call in, that what is the next frontier in golf? I mean, what more can they possibly do to make it easier to hit a golf ball?
That's really an excellent question, and it's been asked now for, I'd say, more than a decade. And, Frank Thomas, who used to be the technical director of USGA at one time, said, listen, we're butting up against the ceiling of what physics can do. And we may be seeing that now, although the people who develop golf equipment are so smart that they never seem to run out of ideas. I was looking at a couple of companies' websites recently, and they're still optimizing sole plates to make clubs go through the grass easier. And if nothing else, it feels better, and of course that affects the quality of your shot. Now, that makes perfect sense when you think about Justin Thomas, who's tied for the lead three ways at the Tour Championship, and how he made three woods famous again at the U.S. Open. And three wood is a hard club to fit, a hard club to hit consistently. So if you can make a sole plate that's going to give somebody the confidence, this is going to get through the grass, this is not going to feel hung up, this is going to be smooth as silk, and it's going to go 265 yards, then you've done something. So there always seems to be room to innovate. Does it really make the golf ball that much easier to hit? Not necessarily, but the crossover between what happens physically and what happens in your mind in this game, I think, is probably more concrete than in any other sport.
Yes, absolutely. It's like when golf clubs became sexy. I said, this is a sexy look from here. I look down. Oh, I don't like that. That look is not sexy to me. So everybody has that, right? I mean, just the look of a club, whether or not it's cool, the eye will make you feel better about what you're doing, even if it doesn't come out right.
The setup position and what you see when you look down is crucial, although I guarantee you that in discussing these things with Mr. Miura, I never used the word sexy because I was afraid how it would translate in Japanese.
Oh, we've been talking with Adam Barr, former USGA Communications and Museum Director, Miura Golf, President for North America, formerly. Formerly with Golf Channel, formerly Golf Week. He still is an attorney.
Still got that going.
Yes. You are such an asset. Whoever gets you, Adam Barr, they are very lucky. Thanks for being on the show.
I greatly appreciate it, and I'd love to talk to all the great golfers in Hawaii, and mahalo to everyone.
Aloha.
Take care. Aloha.
We're going to come back and talk about the Symetra Tour, and we have two Hawaii players vying for their card and the Tour Championship, the Symetra Tour Championship, coming up soon. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. And it doesn't matter if your restaurant line broke at 10 a.m. or your building hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. That 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow, 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU FM, Honolulu, KGU AM, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. And now, Symetra Tour signed through, or the Symetra, the sponsor, has signed to be the sponsor through 2021. It went from 23 events and $40.5 million in 2011, a huge increase in prize money and prizes and just events that are played. We're going to talk now with a gentleman, the manager of strategic media partnerships of the Symetra Tour. Welcome into the clubhouse, Brett Lasky.
Hey, Danielle, how are you?
I'm fabulous. And how are you, sir?
I'm great. Yeah, it's a beautiful day in Prattville, Alabama, and a little bit hot, but we're hanging in there.
Symetra Tour, the developmental tour for the LPGA. If you don't mind my saying this, kind of like the web.com tour for the PGA,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
So we've got Nicole Sakamoto. She was our 2012 Jenny K. Wilson champion. That's a big deal, one of the hardest courses. Kalani High School grad. She started playing when she was 11. She turned pro, of course, and Annika Sorenstam and Tiger Woods are the people that she looks up to. Marissa Chow is from Iolani, 2010 Hawaii State Junior Golf Association state champ, big deal. Competed in the 2014 U.S. Women's Open at Pinehurst, three-time All-American, really big deal, and four-time All-WCC first teamer. We've only got what? Now, you've got the Guardian Championship that's going now in Prattville, Alabama, and then the IOA Golf Classic before the Symetra Tour Championship at Daytona Beach.
Yeah, that's right. We only have three events left, including this one. And, you know, you mentioned those two, Chow and Sakamoto, and both are actually playing very well this week. Marissa Chow is tied for 22nd, and Nicole Sakamoto is just a little bit in front of that. She's tied for 18th. So, and Sakamoto has really played pretty well this year. I've been really impressed, especially of late. So I think a lot of the people in your listening audience in Hawaii should be really proud of her for sure this year.
Absolutely. We always are, because being on tour where, you know, you're lucky to make enough money to, I'm not sure, travel? Maybe not, right? you really need sponsors at home to really make all of this possible, to make that dream come true. It's great to see them being successful, and, you know, all of our positive energy goes out to them every day. Tell us, how many tour cards to get from the Symetra Tour to the LPGA Tour are available?
Yeah, so it's a little bit different than the web.com. You know, a lot of people maybe that are familiar know that, you know, it's like 25 cards there. It's 10 cards on the Symetra Tour. So it's incredibly cutthroat, especially, you know, sort of at the end of the year when everybody's sort of scratching and clawing for every stroke, every dollar, every 2-foot putt probably looks like a 10-foot putt to, you know, the women, especially late in the year. So, you know, it's really competitive. You know, I've heard people say that it's almost more competitive at the end of the year than the LPGA, you know, because, you know, the LPGA goes to, you know, Asia, and most of those players have secured their card, right? It's a limited field event, so they're, you know, top 60 players. But here, at the end of the year, you know, you have 11, maybe a couple grand short of number 10. So there's just, you know, so much competition, and, you know, the competition has grown exponentially. Even in my 4 years, the depth of competition on the tour has gotten so much better. So it's really hard to get your card and finish in the top 10. So, you know, these players are really scratching and clawing for every single penny. at the end of the year.
So are the cards, it's not points, it's dollar-based, right, depending on how much money you've earned over the year?
Exactly, yeah, it's all dollar-based. So this week somebody's going to earn $15,000 by winning this event, and, you know, that'll bump them up the money list. And, for example, right now, number 9 on the money list, Lindsay Weaver's in 3rd place in the event. So a big finish by her, you know, gives her a little bit of cushion heading into the final 2 events of the year. But it seems like every single year at our last event of the season, the Symetra Tour Championship, somebody from outside of the top 10 winds up playing well in that event and leapfrogs into the top 10. And then the other side of the coin is somebody inside the top 10 unfortunately gets their heart broken falls outside of the top 10. So for us, you know, as a staff, it's almost the best day of the year and the worst day of the year, to be honest, because you see the joy of earning an LPGA card, but you also see, you know, the frustration or whatever the right word is.
Hearts crushed.
Because, you know, the difference of, you know, finishing in the top 10 and getting a full-time LPGA Tour card and finishing 11th or 12th on the Symetra Tour money list is really big, because if you finish 11th or 12th, what happens? You have to go to stage 3 of LPGA Q school, and that's 5 rounds, and who knows what happens there. I mean, sometimes we've seen the best players in the world go there and just not have the success that maybe they expected. So it's a really big difference to finish 10th and 11th on the Symetra Tour money list. So, you know, you see a lot of tears of joy and then, you know, tears of, man, my heart just got broken and I have to go back to Q school and maybe do another year on the Symetra Tour.
Yeah, Brett Lasky is the manager of Strategic Media Partnerships, and we're talking about, it is the Volvic, Volvic Race for the Card. And there are the top 10 who are actually going to get an LPGA card. Now, I'm seeing that Celine Boutier and Benyapa Nifansfon, I just brutalized her name, I'm sure.
Nifansfon.
These two are like just 1,000, if that, apart.
Yeah, that's going to be a good thing to watch, too. I mean, obviously, both have secured their LPGA Tour cards at this point, but it'll be fun to see who's the Symetra Player of the Year. Both have been awesome this year, and it's kind of interesting because both have done it in really different ways. Celine Boutier has won twice this year in 2 of our biggest events, and Benyapa Nifansfon, and this might be even more impressive, she's not won this year, and she still has, you know, nearly $110,000 in earnings. And, you know, people have to realize that, you know, most of the players in the top 10, they've either won, had a lot of second place finishes, because, you know, the money drops off quite a bit after, you know, the 15 grand or the 30 grand for the winner. It drops off, you know, second, third, and so on and so forth, just like any other tour. So, you know, she's been really impressive to not have a win and still earn almost $110,000. She leads the tour in top 10 finishes and will definitely be somebody to keep an eye on next year on the LPGA. And what I love most about her, Danielle, is that she just plays golf. Like, there's no thinking on the golf course. She just gets to her ball, no practice swing, and just rips it. Like, it's the best pace of play mechanism that we have out on tour. She just does not think, does not take a practice cut, does not back beyond the ball to line up her shot, just gets there and rips it and swings hard.
I hope nobody ever changes her.
No, me too. And I don't think anybody will. I mean, our officials, they applaud every time they see her because, you know, pace of play is a huge thing in golf. And you can't time her. You can barely photograph her because you got to be right there and ready. Because she's going to hack the ball pretty quick.
Well, just to give you an idea, folks, the bottom 3 or 4, you know, we've got Daniela Darquea, Lindsay Weaver, Yu Liu, and Emma Talley. 50,000, there's like 10,000 between these bottom 4. And if they were to come out on top, that $15,000 would make such a huge difference for Daniela and Lindsay. They would kind of get up to the middle section rather being at the bottom section where somebody else could come up and bump them off, because there's this event, and then we have the IOA Golf Classic, and then the Symetra Tour Championship at Daytona Beach. Thank you, Brett Lasky. I hope you'll stay in touch with me. It's a real pleasure talking with you, and I'd like to talk more about the Symetra Tour on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, and keep following us because these women deserve the attention, and keep tabs on Marissa and Nicole. They're playing great.
And say you'll be on the show again. Come on, make a commitment.
Absolutely. Anytime. You just tell me when and I'm there.
Excellent. He just got engaged, so he's capable of making a commitment. When are you going to get married?
I'm getting married in February. So
awesome.
Maybe I'll have to make a trip out with my fiance and future wife to Hawaii.
Yes.
That sounds pretty good to
yes.
me.
Yes, and then you can sit right across from me, but it's early in the morning. If it's Maui, you can call in, okay?
Okay. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thank you, Brett. Aloha.
Bye-bye.
We're going to go and visit Scotland. I can't wait. David Hunter is CEO of ShotScope Technologies. Make that shot, like taking a shot, scope, like scoping it out, and technologies. ShotScope on Twitter. You'll find him on Facebook. And right now, we're going to take a break, and then David will be with us. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
What do the Symphony Tower, One Ala Moana, Waiea Building, JN's Lamborghini Showroom, and Park Place at Ala Moana all have in common? They used Rainer Hawaii overhead doors for their door and gate needs. Rainer, Hawaii's premier overhead door company. Provide lasting security and safety for your business by working with Rainer Hawaii overhead doors and gates. Great service, fair prices. Whether you need 80 doors or only a small repair, call Rainer Hawaii 676-DOOR. That's 676-3667, Rainer Hawaii.
I need help. Maybe you've heard that from people who are taking care of a loved one. They don't want to go into a home. They want to stay at home, but need help taking care of a parent, a spouse, or a relative. Meal planning and prep, light housekeeping, assistance, bathing, hygiene. See, home care to give peace of mind to you and to the one you love. A few hours a week or 24/7. It's really up to you. You choose the number of hours you need. So need help? They have a plan for you, for your parents, your own retirement. Eliminate the hassles and the frustration and the unknown. Call Need Help. The number is 548-7526. Eliminate the hassles, the frustration, and the unknown. Call Need Help now at 548-7526. They're available on Maui and Oahu, of course. They're actually in all 50 states. And tell them Danielle sent you. Need Help? That number is 548-7526.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
David Hunter is CEO of ShotScope Technologies. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hi, Danielle. How are you doing?
Excellent. Just so you know, we've got about 16 minutes, maybe even 20 minutes to talk. So we've got lots to talk about, and it's fascinating. What is ShotScope?
Yeah, to put it very, very simply, ShotScope is a smart wristband, a smart wearable for golf that provides information to the golfer as they play about yardages, about how far you have to hit the ball. But as you do that, in the background, our technology actually collects everything about your game. So we can actually identify exactly where you've hit a shot. And once we've done that, we can provide all your stats, all your analytics. We can actually map every single shot you've played on the golf course you've just played and show you all the data in a mobile app or on your PC. But the key thing is you've just worn the wristband, put some small tags on the top of your golf kit and played.
So you say there's no need for manual input or using my phone while I'm playing?
Nothing at all. All the technology is built into the wristband. So your phone can be left in the car or it can be left in your bag. You don't have to interact at all with your phone during the round. And you don't have to. You can interact with the device if you want to jump back and forth with balls, or if you want to collect the pin data. You can actually just press one button in each hole to collect pin data. But apart from that, you don't interact at all with the wristband.
So I can find out how far it is to the pin, but that's just one touch on the wristband, and it'll tell me. Is that it?
Well, we can do that. We're building that into the system, but at the moment it's actually to locate the pin position, because after your round you'll see all the maps with all your shots and how far you hit each shot and what club you used, and if the drive was in fairway, or if you were if your sixth iron was included in your green and regulation stats. But your stats really benefit from collecting the pin location data, because obviously we can then tell that your six iron was 15 feet away from the pin or 25 feet away from the pin, and we can actually then start to detail the distance of your putts as well. So just one button press, either after you hit the ball out of the hole or when you're putting the pin back in the hole, and we actually can locate the pin in your data.
That's fantastic. How did you come up with what sparked this idea? Because not only is it your idea, you made it become physical in your home, and we've got to talk about that.
That's a question I'm not normally asked about, but yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I am a golf addict. I am an absolute golf geek. And I don't get the chance to play much at the moment just because we're so busy with ShotScope. But about 4 or 5 years ago, I was down in the range 3 times a week. I was playing in the midweek medal and playing in competitions at the weekend. Just couldn't get enough of playing the game. But I am an engineer. I'm also a design engineer. So I was trying to engineer a game. So I was out with pieces of paper. I was going home and entering different spreadsheets about my game. And I have to admit, believe it or not, it worked. And I had done changes to swing path. I'd went from initially hitting the ball left to right to actually starting to hit the ball right to left. I tried everything to get my handicap reduced. And actually, the thing that worked best was starting to gather all this data about my game. So it's basically course management. It's really smart course management. And the minute I started to apply it, it did work. It really does work. And so I also had an idea there could be an easier way to do it. And the things that were in the market at the time, they just weren't good. And this was before, performance tracking really hit the golf market. And I wrote this idea down on 3 pieces of paper. I filed it away for 2 years, believe it or not, and didn't do anything with it. And then I actually left my job and I became a secondary school teacher for a period of time. And I was kind of watching other kids working away doing things. I thought, I'm going to try and do something with some of my ideas. And this one just got, it just worked. We won a business competition after about 3 months. I got some funding. It gave me the opportunity to work full time on the technology. And fast forward 3 years, we've actually released 2 products, our V1 and our V2. We've got a team of 18 in Edinburgh. It's been used by professionals on tours, and it's now been used, I think, in 35 countries.
Wow!
If I'm correct. I did design the first 6 prototypes in the house. So that was a long time ago now. It was a very long time ago.
It feels like a long time ago. Let me ask you this. Before we talk about how you actually made this become physical in your home, because there had to be prototypes, I find it interesting that you were able to win a 25,000 pound grant?
It was, yes, that's correct.
A business grant so that you could pursue this?
That's correct. Absolutely correct. It was in September 2013, and I took a trip down to London, and it's a government agency called Innovate UK that provides grants. I have to admit, I didn't really know what I was going to. It wasn't until I walked into the room, there was about 200 people in the room, and it was in a very nice location in London, and that's when I realised it was quite a serious event. I had finished the truant from teaching that day to go and do this, so it was quite important we got a result. And yeah, you know, the pitch went well. The Q&A that comes with these things went well, and we won the £25,000.
That's fantastic.
And, it wasn't the best time to leave my career. My wife was actually 3 months pregnant with her first child at the time, so it was a serious, serious commitment to go for it. But it's turned out okay. It's turned out fine.
It turned out fine, and she's happy.
She's happy. Yeah, I think just.
Well, okay, so you've got your spare bedroom, probably not much longer since the baby's coming, right? And in your spare bedroom, how are you putting together a wristband that's going to now track? It's got to have all kinds of electronic sensors in it. How do you develop that in your home?
Yeah, well, but you know, that's where I'm pretty fortunate. I'm actually an electronic. My background's in electronics design. I was at university. I got an honours and I got a master's in engineering, and then I went and designed for other companies for 6 years. So I kind of, you know, I knew how to rapidly build prototypes, and I knew how to go and source components and source them cheap, and I knew how to write code to make everything work together. So that, you know, I was in a fortunate position. You know, we're kind of joking about me leaving my job, but I did know how to do the first initial stages just to see if we could make something work here. And don't get me wrong, that took 10 months, and it didn't take so much take 10 months to make something work. It took 10 months to get something down to the size that you could wear on your wrist as a prototype. And even then, you know, at that stage, so that was, we're now at the end of 2014, and we were awarded another grant from Scottish Enterprise, which was £100,000.
Wow.
At that point. And we've been very fortunate. Scottish Enterprise has actually invested through grants and business competitions over £1 million into Shotscope. So they've been fabulous with us. But even then, you know, we still hadn't commercialised the technology. We'd proven that we could make this work. The idea was viable. You know, in theory, everything could work. But we were, from that point, 2 years away from making it a commercial product. And not only 2 years, but I then recruited a team of 10 in the technical team. And we needed every single one of those people to make this technology work. So, yeah, you know, I very early proved that that it could work. But really, it was the team that came around it after that, and we've got a great CTO, a guy called Lewis Allison, that really took the technology to the next stage.
That's fantastic.
Try to run the business. So yeah, it's great. But yeah, it's a lot. It did start in the bedroom, working away on it, but it's came on so far, and you know, we've got, you know, 10 people that build our tech every single day now, as well as a number of suppliers that help us out as well.
So it was your decision to take your abilities that you already had to an idea that you had in your mind, and you left work and you started working on this on your own, and then you realized, I got to make this smaller, and how am I going to do this? And through the help of business grants, I think it's fantastic that, you know, in the UK that there are people who will say, yeah, let's give you 25,000, let's give you 100,000.
Yeah.
And
We're lucky.
Well, lucky, and you must have shown some abilities from the very beginning that, you know, this is going to work. That's amazing, and it makes all of us think, oh, somebody was willing to invest in ShotScope, and your version 1, V1, I imagine is the reason why it's called V1, you have, you are able to watch works, let's see, watch works in the background, collecting 100 tour level statistics broken down into 5 areas: clubs, tee shots, approaches, short game, and putting.
That's correct. Yes.
It's great.
And same again, you don't have to interact, you just go and play. And the wristband, V1 and V2 are both legal for use in competitions. So, you know, it was used at the Dunhill Links last year. So that's quite a large European tour event in Scotland, and it's also been used on the ladies' European tour as well. But that, you know, that wasn't the focus. The focus is on the amateur market, because I'm an amateur golfer, you know, and that was really the that was really how the idea started, and really the focus is still on the amateur market. But it just so happens we have a legal product, you know, a product that's approved by both the Army and the USGA.
That's great, because everybody wants to, when you said it comes down to course management, knowing what club to use at what time. Is all course management and getting to know your figures. It's really hard to go out and have fun playing a round of golf while you're constantly jotting down, okay, I hit that one.
It's impossible. You know, it just, I've got friends, I did it. I was one of those guys. And I've got friends that up until recently were still doing it. And, you know, it takes the fun out of the game. It takes the social element out of the game. And, you know, this is a, shot scopes are a serious piece of kit to get some real insights about your game, but it allows you to have the freedom to socialise with your playing partners and chat and not mess around with phones and not write things down on pieces of paper as I was doing when I was playing at one point.
That's great. So you had on V1, there were 2,000 users in 6 months, 35 countries, 22 states in the US. How can we get it?
Yeah, good question. Well, what we've got now is V1's still there. You can still buy V1 through, I think it's only on Amazon at the moment. But we launched our V2 product. So our V2 is the, you know, that brings GPS yardage and all this good performance tracking stuff together in a single product. And for that, we are actually running a pre-sale campaign at the moment. It launched in August this year, and it's probably going to run for another 4 or 5 weeks. We have shipping from the USA, so we can ship when they do ship, most likely mid October. Apologies, we'll be able to ship in 3 days. So yeah, you can go on our website, you can order it direct. It's got 20% off it for the pre-sale, and that's supposed to come to an end in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
It looks really sharp, by the way. I'm at your website, shotscope.com. This is a really classy piece of equipment that will just be right on your wrist. It must be very lightweight, isn't it?
It's exceptionally lightweight. It only weighs 45 grams, so it's about the third of the weight of other GPS devices. It was always designed specifically for golf. You know, we were building a smartwatch here. We wanted to build something that is for golfers, specifically golfers. So it was always has to be very, very light. We've managed to maintain that with V2 as well.
Smart GPS, no subscription necessary.
That's correct.
That's a really important facet, right? I mean, that you don't have to be subscribing and paying, and you buy the device and the device works all by itself and there's no subscription. Smart GPS, no. And then you download what you've got to your personal computer or tablet or whatever you want to use.
Yeah, you know, PC, tablet, phone, you know, we've got iOS and Android apps. And you know, on the subscription, you know, you can have 10 rounds in there, or you can have 1,000 rounds in there built up over 4 or 5 years. There's never going to be a subscription with the ShotScope product.
It's awesome. It's been a real pleasure meeting you, David Hunter. Thank you for being so persistent and going after it. And
no, thank you. Thanks for coming.
It's really great. And I'm glad. Baby, boy, girl.
We had a little boy back in 2014, and we've just had a little girl within the last year. It's actually her birthday on Wednesday.
Oh! and it's a family. That's awesome. And a successful businessman at that. This is ShotScope. Go to ShotScope.com. Check it out. And the man who created it is David Hunter. He's CEO, ShotScope Technologies. Thank you for being on the show.
No worries. Thanks for having us on. Have a nice day.
You too. Aloha. I want to thank the people who make this show possible. First off, Futuristone. Futuristone's master craftsmen, you know, they turn your building, your warehouse, your showroom, your home project into artwork. Natural stones, specializing in Brazilian quartzite flagstone, AquaPave on-site stormwater source control systems, interlocking concrete pavers, Roman stack walls. Futuristone, only the best. Claude Brousseau, speaking of the best, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, and a Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson? Go see Claude Brousseau. He's at the Kahili course on Maui. Creative plumbing, whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, a new build, or a renovation, or just a repair. Call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right. You can't have water coming out of the pipes. Creative Plumbing, serving Hawaii for over 40 years. Rainer Doors. Thank you, Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, providing security and safety for your business, for your home. Rainer Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Rainer Doors. Have one installed in your home. The number is 647-2056. And Alan Nakata and Associates, the folks who bring you Need Help to help you handle the needs of the people you love so much. But you're working really hard every day and you just can't be there all the time or just part of the time. That's what they need, just a few hours maybe, or 24/7. Prepare your future too with Need Help. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. Alan Nakata, 548-7526. I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. And if you miss the show and you want to hear more or hear it again, it's radiogolfclub.com. Radiogolfclub.com. Just hit the button that says not live listen, but archives. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2017.